Och nu en applåd till våran talare Richie från Kanada, Vancouver, Kanada. Welcome, Richie.
Thank you very much. I'm an addict. My name is Richie.
Hi, Richie.
Welcome. Thank you. And welcome to the newcomers. If there's anybody coming back, welcome. Welcome back. The topic that we've considered tonight is the newcomer, because we all know what that was about. That's one thing that we all have in common. And I don't know exactly where to start. I guess I'll start just telling you that I came into Narcotics Anonymous as an addict of the hopeless variety. In fact, I was so hopeless that I didn't think Narcotics Anonymous could really help me. I thought the only thing that would help me was suicide. And I'm really grateful that I had someone bring me in that spent a day with me and explained to me that I didn't have to take such drastic measures for what I considered my problems to be. And there's a sentence in one of the steps. I think it's a sentence from step three that says, "We realize that the power that brought us to this program is still with us and will continue to guide us if we allow it." So I guess there was some power that was holding on to my hand and that brought me into this program, because I guarantee I certainly didn't come on my own intelligence. We were just talking about this before the meeting started, and we were talking about how did we get here, by our heart or by our intelligence, by our mind. And we came to the conclusion that we must have got here by our heart, because our heads certainly told us that this wouldn't work and that we didn't really want to come. So before I go on, is there anyone here that needs an interpreter? Does everyone speak English? Okay, yeah, good. Keep coming back. Yeah. Hold on here. Okay, maybe that'll be a bit better. Anyway, yeah, so I came in as a newcomer, and and I heard in the readings, the newcomer is the most important person at any meeting, because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. And, you know, nobody really gave me much that night. You know, I certainly couldn't hear, or I didn't have the ability to pay any attention. And I kept standing around waiting for somebody to give me something. I certainly thought that my chance had come when they sent around the seventh tradition. I thought that this is where I would take advantage of taking what I liked and leaving the rest. But I didn't. It took a while for me to get a hold of this program. You know, they talked about getting a sponsor. They talked about getting phone numbers also. I didn't get any phone numbers the first night. I didn't get a sponsor. Another thing that I heard is get a home group. Get hooked up with a home group. Go to enough meetings that you can find a group that you feel that you're comfortable at. So I took that suggestion, and I started going to meetings. And they suggested 90 meetings in 90 days. And, you know, just like all the rest of us, I guess I went to about 300 meetings in 90 days, because I didn't know what to do with myself, you know, and I found it a way of, you know, finding out who was at the other meetings, you know, because everybody talked. When I listened to people talk, you know, I used to think to myself, wow, they just quoted step one. We admitted that we're powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable, and they didn't even read it off the wall. And I thought, wow, would I ever like to be able to remember the steps like they do? You know, I thought, oh, wow, like, and everybody that spoke had what I wanted. You know, they all sounded so good. And, you know, like, even when they contradicted themselves, you know, like one person would say, you know, get phone numbers, and then the next person would say, don't get so many phone numbers. And it didn't matter what they said, they sounded great, you know. I mean, like, addicts have a way of making suggestions and describing their situations or dilemmas in such a way that it just sounds like it's all about me. And being an addict, I'm a little bit self-centered, so I like people talking about things that I can relate to. So, months went by, and you know, I still hadn't got a sponsor. I bought a basic text, and I put it up on the shelf. There's a saying, I guess it's probably the same saying all over the world, that says, if you want to hide something from an addict, put it in the basic text. and that saying was certainly true for me, because, I mean, like, I bought it, and, I mean, I don't even think I opened it up at first, you know? I had great intentions. You know, I thought to myself, I got to start reading this book. I want to sound good when I come to the meetings. You know, because, like, we're all caught up in that, like, wanting to look, what do they call it in the book, terminally hip and fatally cool. I think they talk about it in chapter 5, What Can I Do? And I certainly fell into that category. I wanted to look good. You know, when I was sharing, I wanted people to listen. And I, you know, like I saw those giants from recovery, those people that had a year and 2 years. And I wondered, wow, I wonder how you do to get, what do you do to get that, you know? How do you stay clean that long? You must really have to learn to lie. Because I just couldn't believe that anybody could tell the truth and be clean that long. But I kept coming back. And, you know, I got a sponsor and went over the 12 steps. And I think one of the biggest things that happened to me in my first year of recovery, my sponsor invited me to go to the World Convention. And that World Convention was in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And, you know, I saw that Narcotics Anonymous was just not a small town a group of people that had banded together to get clean. You know, like, I started to realize that Narcotics Anonymous is a world organization. There was people representing many countries there, and, of course, from all the provinces in Canada, and from all the, I think, from every state in the United States. And, you know, everybody there had what I wanted. You know, I wanted to get clean. I wanted a new way of life. And that's what they told me when I came in here, is that, you know, you can stop using, lose a desire to use, and find a new way of life. And that's what I wanted. You know, there's a sentence in step one. It says, we have found that we had no choice except to completely change our old ways of thinking or go back to using. And I don't know if I really wanted to completely change my old ways of thinking, but I was ready to go 50-50 anyway. And, you know, like, I never realized that, you know, it's either all or nothing in here. And people come and go in this program, and unfortunately, there's more going than there is coming. And there's a lot more going than there is staying. And, you know, I guess that's where, you know, like, what I caught on to early on. And, you know, I thought to myself, what's going on here? What can we do to keep people coming and keep them staying? You know, because I figured if I could get hip to that, it might help me stay too. And, you know, I know for a fact that for me to go out and get loaded, we've got a chapter in our basic text called Recovery and Relapse, Chapter 7. And, you know, relapse is, what do they say in the book? It says it might be the jarring event that helps us to work our program more vigorously. But I do know also that I've seen a lot of people relapse and die. You know, so, and I've never had to relapse since I've come into Narcotics Anonymous. And the reason, I really believe that the reason is that I kept coming to meetings, even when I didn't want to. You know, and sometimes there's months that go by when I don't want to come to a meeting. I just don't want to come anymore. But I do anyway. You know, I get up in the morning. Sometimes I want to sleep for a little while longer, and I have to get up and go to use the washroom. And I don't want to get up. It's cold in my room, and it's nice and warm in between the sheets and the blankets. And I don't want to get up, but I do anyway. Because if I do the results, if I don't do what I got to do, then the results are disastrous. And in the end, I wish I had. And it's the same thing with meetings. I just keep coming. Just keep coming back. And, you know, here's the difference for me between a good meeting and a great meeting. Because they're all good meetings. No matter what meeting I come to, I always feel better after the meeting. You know, just the fact that I've come. I might not be any happier after the meeting, but I do feel better that I at least made the effort. Remember, the three spiritual principles that are so important to our recovery are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I just have to be willing to get here. Now, if I get here a little early and I set up the chairs and do a little bit of service work, I'm starting to move toward a great meeting. If I stand at the door and welcome everyone, I get a little closer to feeling good about my recovery. But, you know, being an addict, I want to accelerate myself towards recovery. You know, like, I mean, I'm trapped by my need for instant gratification that recovery can give me. You know, I used to be trapped by my need for instant gratifications that drugs would give me. Now I'm trapped by my need for instant gratification that recovery gives me. And I found that the newcomer is the key to my successful acceleration towards the goal that I feel that's worth achieving, and that's recovery. The more newcomers that I have an opportunity to work with, the better I feel all the time. It does get a little busy at times, but that's what keeps me coming back today. I'm constantly looking for newcomers to include in my program. You know, I think I'm just going to draw a little bit of an analogy here. I don't know how appropriate this is, but, you know, over in North America, they have pyramid sales. I'm sure they do here also, I mean, because everything else is exactly the same here. But what a pyramid sale is you see somebody that wants what you have, that you want what they have. They usually have a big car, a nice house, nice clothing, and that affluent look of comfortableness. And so you go up and you say, "How are you getting what you're getting?" And they say, "Well, we're selling this particular product." And you say, "Oh, okay, like I think I'd like to sell a little bit of this because I want what you've got." And they say, "Okay, come in, and we'll get you into the program." And you go in and, you know, you start selling this product, and you realize that, man, I'm going to have to sell this stuff for 1,000 years before I get anywhere near what this guy's got. And you share that with your sponsor. That's what they call it in pyramid sales, is a sponsor. And you share that with them, and they say, "Well, you know, you can accelerate your progress in this organization by getting somebody below you to sell a little bit." And that's basically what we do in this program. You know, like we get a sponsee, and the sponsee keeps coming to us, asking us questions about the program that we have to look in the book to find the answers for. And in the process of looking for the answer, we get a little bit better program ourselves. And of course, if you've got two sponsees asking you questions, bingo, you've just doubled the speed that you're learning the program. Now, as we're learning this program, you see, this is a God-given program. And, you know, like there's a line in our basic text that says, you know, the talk of God in the meetings when we first came in repelled us, some of us. And I don't mean to repel anybody, but this is just a reality. The nice thing about the God in this program is you can have whatever you want. You know, in step three it says the right to a God of your understanding is total and without any catches. But then there's a qualifying sentence that says, because we have this right, it is necessary to be honest about our belief if we are to grow spiritually. You know, so like, do what you like around the God thing. But for me, I really believe that if this is a God-given program and he's going to use me, he's going to want me to know what's going on here. You know, if I walk in here and I think God's going to use me, just because I've arrived, I hope somebody will wake me up. You know, it's much like acting here. You know, like I'm trying to act like a recovering addict tonight. And, all I have to do is know the book. You know, we have a basic text in Narcotics Anonymous, and it says in the book that this book is meant to be a basic text for any addict seeking recovery. And that's what I'm doing. I'm seeking recovery. And I want God to use me. And, you know, he watches to see what I'm doing with my book. You using that book, Richie? You know, because he sees everything, every move that I make. And, you know, like, that's why I like the newcomers. Because when I see the newcomer, I always ask them if they'll help me read the book a little. Because they usually say yes. Everybody else that has got some time in the program is going right back to work after the meeting. Or they're busy doing something because they've got a life. So there's not many people that I can count on to help me read the book and get hip to this program except for the newcomer. And I take them all. They're all mine. You know? I love them all. Step one. You know, that's my favorite thing to say to somebody. Could you help me? Do you think you've got time to help me read step one? It usually takes about an hour and a half, but I always say, well, it takes about 10 minutes. You know, because I just want to get them on the hook. You know? And, you know, we read through it, and it does. It's the truth. You know, I'm trying to be honest today. It's the truth. It only takes 10 minutes to read. But you see, we developed a method. Because, like, one of the things that we found in working with each other, not just newcomers, but with each other, is a lot of us have trouble paying attention, and a lot of us have trouble reading. You know, I mean, I'd like to be able to tell you I just breezed through school without any trouble, but you know that's a lie. You know, I'm an addict. You know, I was a full-blown alcoholic at the age of 12. You know, I mean, I could hardly wait till lunchtime at school when I was 12 years old so I could go to the bar and get drunk. And then I'd come back to the school and just lie down, and the teachers would never wake me up because I was a problem when I was awake. So they were real happy that I was drunk and that I'd come back into the class and burp a couple of times and go back to sleep. And they wouldn't wake me up until it was time to go home. And my report card, you know, like F stands for failure in North America. And I can remember my report card being covered with F's. That was the only mark that I made. But then how could you expect me to do any better when I slept through school? But so some of us have trouble reading. And I certainly qualify for a person that has trouble reading. So we devised a method. You know, we come here and we don't stay, thank God we don't have to stay clean for a week at a time or a month at a time. Can you imagine how hard that would be? I mean, like I'd be talking to, I don't know how many people would be in the room if we had to stay clean a month at a time rather than a day at a time. But it certainly makes it a lot easier when we only have to stay clean a day at a time. And so we thought about this a little bit, and we thought, you know, let's maybe just try reading one sentence at a time rather than a paragraph. Because I know when I'm reading with somebody and they read the second sentence in the paragraph, I start looking out the window, you know. But when I have to read the next sentence all the time, it demands that I pay attention. And what we did is we started numbering our basic texts so that every sentence had a number, so that as we were reading, through the, let's say, our step one, if there was a sentence there that I thought that that was really important that I'd like to talk about after the reading, I'd have a list of my numbers that I wanted to share with you. And it works, it just works so good. You know, I read with a newcomer, and, you know, it, like I say, it only takes 10 minutes to read step one, and depending on how many lines you think are important is how long we're going to be hanging around together after the reading. I was with newcomer, and I was chairing a meeting up in London, or across in London, or wherever we are. And this person came up to me, a newcomer came up to me after the meeting and said, I'd like you to sponsor me. And I said, well, that's a good idea, but like, why don't we read the basic text first of all? Why don't we see what the program has to offer, and we'll read the book from cover to cover, and if you still want me to sponsor you after we've read the book, of course I'll say yes. But why be so hasty? Remember, it doesn't mention anything about sponsorship until step four in our basic text. But it does say, by page 12, if you're an addict and have found this book, please give yourself a break and read it. It says that on the cover. It says it again on page 1. It says it again on page 12. So by the time we get to page 12, we've already been reminded that it might be an important thing in our lives to read the basic text. You know, one of the things I find about reading it with people that have got time in the program is I always get basically the same answers. Not always. I shouldn't say that, because every time we read it, we get something new out of it. Especially when we're working one-on-one. You know, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for one addict can best understand and help another addict. And you know, when we're reading this together, no matter who I'm reading it with, a newcomer or an old-timer, we always get something new. It always gets better. You know, I had an opportunity to read step one maybe 3 or 4 or 5 times today, with a whole group of people. And every time we read it, I thought of a whole pile of new stuff that I wanted to share, because I had a whole list of numbers, you know, that I collected as we were reading through it. So yeah, it's really important for me, you know, like what I got today, and I'm happy with my recovery today, you know. You know, other people might say, you know, Richie's, I don't know if I like Richie's program too well, but you know, here's the nice thing about my program is that I've been really blessed since I came into this program. I've been able to go to the last 7 world conventions. And what, you say, well, why would you want to go to a world convention? I mean, I have enough trouble getting to a meeting right here in town. Why would I want to go halfway across the world to a world convention? Because you meet a whole pile of people that are really excited about Narcotics Anonymous at world conventions. The only people that go to world conventions are people that are really excited about Narcotics Anonymous. And those are the people I want in my program. I like people that are really excited. People with time in the program that are really excited. Because a lot of the times, like when I go to meetings in my own hometown, the only people that are really excited about the program are newcomers. You know, they come wandering in these doors and they really believe that this program is going to work. And those are the people I want to be around. People that really believe in Narcotics Anonymous. So yeah, I've had the opportunity to go to the last 7 world conventions, and I've had the opportunity to go to the last 4 European conventions. And I have so many friends around the world. You know, like I just went over to Matt's house last night and checked my email. I haven't checked it for a couple of weeks, and there was 168 messages on there. And not all that I really wanted, but there was a few there that I did want, and I stayed up well into the early hours of the morning returning these messages, because there's some people that love me today. You know, I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't believe anybody loved me, and I didn't really believe that I was lovable, and, you know, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, like, because that's all changed. You know, I really am beginning to like who I am. And that's a big change, because I certainly didn't think much of who I was when I came in here. So yeah, the newcomer is very important to me, and We do everything that we do in our service is to try to make it better for the newcomer, to keep you coming back and to keep you staying in the program. You know, like I hope that none of us have to ever relapse, because relapses are so often fatal. And if they're not, we end up living in insane asylums, in prisons with bars on them, or prisons that we make for ourselves. Sometimes I think the ones that we make for ourselves are worse than the ones with bars on them. At least they feed you in a prison where the bars are. The prisons that we make for ourselves, like we can starve in them, you know. And that's what we've got to look forward to if we don't get the program. You know, jails, institutions, and death. So yeah, I'm pretty grateful that God supplies me with newcomers, and they always have a fresh idea. I have no idea what they're going to talk about. I sometimes have an idea what old timers are going to talk about when I read with them, if I ever get the chance to read with them. You know, I went up to the top of. I'm going to share this one story, and then I'm going to shut up because I feel like I've talked on and on. But this is such a good story. You know, I was asked to talk to a few people down in the convention in Switzerland this year. And after the convention, somebody came up to me and told me they had one day in the program. And I said, oh, that's great. Could you help me read step one? And the guy says, yeah, I could do that. And it was a whole pile of us. There was somebody from Germany and somebody from France, and who knows where they were all from, maybe Italy. And so we're all sitting around and we're all reading step one, and we all shared a little bit after we read, and we got to know each other a little bit better, because this is a, you know, like it's nice to get to know you. And unless I start reading, like what a way to get to know somebody. You know, there's in this book here, there is, if step one was considered one of our opportunities to get together, there are 75 opportunities to get together. And like I said, it takes about an hour, usually an hour and a half to read something. Like long chapters like Recovery and Relapse, chapter 7, can take as long as 6 hours or 7 hours or 8 or 10 hours. But, you know, by the time we've read 75 things together, we're starting to get to know each other a little bit. We're starting to get to trust each other. You know, I'm starting to open up, because I won't tell you nothing about me. You know, addicts are very secretive people. And, you know, like I say, I get caught up in wanting to look good, you know, and trying to fit in. I just want you to like me so bad, you know. But anyway, I got this newcomer up to the top of the mountain, up to the top of the Alps. And we read step one up there and collected a whole pile of numbers that we were going to talk about after the reading. And we walked down the hill, or the mountain, I guess they call it. They're hills compared to the mountains in BC, where I come from. But no, they're not. They're all mountains. We walked down this mountain, and we had such a good time together. And then he drove me over to Geneva, and you know, we went to a meeting over there. We had such a good time. You know, just one more story. Just like we always had time for one more line. You know, I was at that convention in San Jose a couple of years ago, and I met a newcomer there also. And he said to me, you know, Richie, this is really nice reading the book with you. He says, I'm going to the Grand Canyon. I have a couple of weeks in between my jobs, and I'd like you to join me. And I thought, oh, gee, I don't know if I want to travel with a newcomer. Don't mind reading step one with you. But after an hour and a half, we start to, you know, get a little shaky. And I don't want to keep my act up for more than an hour and a half, you know. Like, I start thinking I should get paid after I have to act for longer than an hour and a half. But I acquiesced, and we went, you know, I told him, I have no money. He says, I didn't ask you if you had any money. I asked you if you wanted to come to the Grand Canyon with me, and I really wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. So we hopped in his car, and we both had our basic texts, and we proceeded to read book one, right up to the stories. And we'd read as we were driving down the highway. He was driving, and I was sitting in the passenger seat. And we'd read, and I'd say, number one. And I'd read sentence number one, and I'd say, number two. And I'd read sentence number two, and he'd say, write that one down, Richie. And so I'd write on his list, number two. And after I got everything read, I'd say, okay, you've chosen number two. Why did you choose this? And we'd talk about it a little bit. And we got to the Grand, we went to Las Vegas, to meetings in Las Vegas. We went up to Utah and meetings in Utah. We went to Nevada, to Arizona. We went down to California. We spent days in the Grand Canyon together. We had an absolutely wonderful time. If he would have not taken the keys out of his car and put them in his pocket, I would have pushed him over the Grand Canyon. There was a few times that we got a little bit short-tempered with each other. And had he not had the keys in his car, I guarantee you, I would have pushed him over. Recovery or no recovery, I would have been able to justify and rationalize how I tripped and stumbled into him and he fell over the edge. And I would have hopped in the car and driven away with a new car. You know, but he always took the keys because he knows that I'm an addict. You know, and he hadn't read the book with me, so there was no reason for him to trust me. You know, I wouldn't trust anybody in this room until I've read the book from cover to cover with you. And then you'd probably give me good reason not to trust you. Before, I wouldn't have any reason. But I'm an addict, you know what? I come in here all of a sudden, like, I didn't trust anybody out on the street, and all of a sudden I come in here and, oh, well, I'm just going to trust everybody all at once. No, I'm not. Sorry. I don't have that good a recovery. I mean, I got some time in the program, but people that spend a lot of time with me know, even newcomers say to me, Richie, that wasn't very honest. You know, because newcomers stick on you. You know, sometimes you have a little trouble shaking them off, and they get past that hour and a half, and they get to see the real me. You know, so like... Anyway, we went on this trip, and you know, 6 days later, we got back to San Jose, and he says to me, I really want to thank you for coming with me because you saved me $120. Now, remember, this guy paid for the postage stamps, the postcards, all the meals, and I looked at him, and I said, how could I have saved you $120? He says, well, I looked at the billboards as we were driving by the hotels, the motels, and they were $30 a night. And if I would have been by myself, I would have stayed in a motel. But we camped out. We even ran into a couple of girls up in Utah that took us home for the night. We were supposed to stay out in the living room, and they were going to sleep in the bedrooms. But we started reading the steps in the living room together. And, you know, like, the steps are our solution. Remember, the drugs used to be our solution. And, you know, if we were using the drugs out in the living room, everybody would have come out to the living room. Well, now we were reading the steps out in the living room, and that's our solution today. And those girls weren't, I mean, they might have been a little slow taking us home, but when we started reading the steps, they knew that we had what they wanted. And they came out, and we read steps. We read steps one, two, and three, and everybody went to sleep. And we had the time of our life. And they want us to come back. They said to us the next day, wow, you guys can come back whenever you want. And very few women ever told me that before I came into the program, you know. So, you know, the steps really work. The steps work. Don't wait until you get better to work the steps. Please don't wait. You know, the steps are our solution. They're our survival kit. They're our defense against addiction, which is a deadly disease. And the steps are the principles that make our recovery possible. So if there's anything I can do to help anyone here tonight, that's why I came. And I came to stay clean. And, you know, maybe I have something that I didn't share with you here. You know, maybe you can remind me after the meeting. Maybe there's something that I forgot to say that I should have said. Somebody will come up to me after the meeting and say, well, what about this? And I'll say, oh, I wish I would have shared about that too. But I'm just really grateful that I've had the opportunity to come and be with you tonight. I wish everyone here another 24 hours. I'll take 24 hours for myself from this. I'm an addict. My name is Richie. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.